Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The advice and opinions expressed by the host of Autism Live and her guests are meant solely as suggestion and should not be in any way construed as child-specific advice. Any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion.
Welcome to Autism Live. I'm Shannon Penrod, and I'm having a really good time today because I have my menagerie with me. We're doing a special shout-out this morning to the folks at Wild Republic. They were one of the amazing toy winners in our toy guide this year, and they were so sweet and sent us a bunch of stuffed animals that we were charged with making sure got out to as many people as we could on the autism spectrum. And so we have been donating them to organizations who've been giving them away. And one of those organizations, we're going to be talking with them today, the Ed Asner Family Center. And so I thought, what a great time to talk about some of my friends here. So this is Wild Republic, you guys, and they make amazing stuffed animals that are so great for all of our kids. They're based on wild animals, and they're amazing. This is my sloth. He is so huggable, squishable. He's a big guy, so I love having him sit on my lap, and he gives great hugs. You just go, oh my gosh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing to have on a kiddo or a teen or an adult bed, the sloth. He's just a fabulous guy. I love the seahorse daddy because he has his three little seahorses in his little pouch. He's so amazing and awesome. These wolves, you can't see him down here, but they gave us these amazing wolves. And we do have a little bit of video and a couple of pictures. You know, we have to be careful of HIPAA, but I can't tell you, when kiddos got this wolf, they lost their minds. I don't have any turtles left, but there were some amazing turtles. I've got to put my wolf down there. I've got to show you my mama. My mama otter. She is so... And there were some baby otters, too. We've given all those away. But this otter is my mascot. And so truly, truly wonderful. So these are just some of the amazing stuffed animals that they gave to us to give to those on the autism spectrum. And we've been, as much as we can, sharing them with other organizations. And I know we gave a big shipment of them to the Ed Asner Family Center. You probably can't hear me because I've squished. And now I think I've lost my microphone entirely.
I have. Did you hear any of that? Because I lost my microphone, and now I'm tossing stuffed animals. They're all about the studio now. I have my menagerie. Here we are. We're back. So again, Wild Republic, check out their wonderful stuffed animals. I gave myself a hug from the sloth, and there went my microphone. Amazing, amazing stuffed animals. Too fabulous. I am a hot mess this morning because I dropped my sloth. Don't drop your sloth when all else fails. Don't drop your sloth. Okay, so happy to be here with you guys. Today is our last live show before we are in the April, you know what, April Autism Awareness, Autism Acceptance, Autism Appreciation, and Autism Action. We've got such a big lineup for you for this month, but we're going out of March with a bang. Really happy that our guests today that are going to be joining us in just a few minutes, Chris Assad, who is absolutely amazing and runs the mental health program at the Ed Asner Family Center, and the fabulous Tom Island is going to be joining us as well. They're going to be talking about a particular program that they have at the Ed Asner Family Center that is, if it's not award-winning, it should be award-winning because it's amazing. So dating on the spectrum is what I'm talking about. But they're doing so much over there that's so good. So we're going to be talking about that and maybe how your kiddos can participate in that wonderful thing. I'm obsessed with this sloth. He is so squishable, you guys. You just have no idea. Okay, I'm going to put him on the floor so I can concentrate because we have a lot to get done here today. So I still have my daddy seahorse. He'll be my mascot for today because I've moved my otter too far away. All right, sit there. Sit comfortably. Okay, so I want to welcome you if you're tuning into the show today. We're live right now because you can see all the kerfuffle. It could only be live. It is our last live show before April starts. We are coming out to you on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and about a dozen other sites. Our fabulous Chris Desmond is starting to show them to you on the screen. Many of you are listening to us in podcasts. We know the vast majority of you are listening. Hi, Rodney. Are listening to us on podcasts. It is a free download wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, iHeartRadio, really, you know, Apple Podcasts, all the different places where you get a podcast. It is a free download, and that's a very important thing. We've been doing this show. We're in our 14th year now. Our mission is to provide information and inspiration, and it's been really important to me and to Dr. Graham Pichet that for these last 14 years, that come to you at no charge to you. We have felt very passionately about that. It's been hard. Can I say that? It has been hard to make sure that we can keep the lights on. And so we do have advertisers. And I am not apologetic about that. In fact, we love advertisers. If you know somebody who wants to advertise with us either during the live shows or during the podcast, we love advertisers. It helps us to be able to give the show to you for free. So when you're listening to when you download the free podcast and you're listening, please embrace those sponsors and think, hey, they made it possible for me to get this for free, because that is the long and the short of it. Now, some of you have said, hey, you know what? Here's the thing. I would like to be able to donate my portion of it because I would prefer to get the podcast free of ads. I get you. And what we did was we partnered with Glow. So you can go to glow.fm and then it's /autismlive. glow.fm/autismlive. When you go there, it will be a $5 a month fee that you will get in order to get the show completely free of ads if that's something you prefer. But I will tell you the super part of that is that you, when you pay that amount, and by the way, if you buy it for the year, it's less expensive than $5 a month. I think significantly less expensive because they do have a charge. Glow charges us each time they run your credit card. So if they do it every month, there's a charge for that. But if they only run it once, then there's a significant discount, and we pass that on to you. We're not trying to make money off of you. That's all I can tell you. So you can do that as well. But here's the good news. When you do the Glow thing, you get everything that happens at the Autism Network free of ads. So you get Autism Live. You get Ask Dr. Doreen. You get our Stories from the Spectrum. You get everything, including we've got some new shows that are coming up that we're, I don't know if you heard, we're incubating new shows. I'm really excited about them. We're going to talk more about that in April. Now, as I said, we're going to be joined by guests Chris Assad and Tom Island in just a few minutes. They're going to talk about their program at the Ed Asner Family Center that they've been doing for a while now, Dating on the Spectrum, plus other things that are going on. There's so many wonderful immersive mental health things that happen at the Ed Asner Family Center on a regular basis. So shout out to them. If you're tuning in late and you're like, why do I see a sloth and why am I seeing a seahorse? These are fabulous stuffed animals that were donated to us from Wild Republic. Originally, they were one of the award winners in our toy guide for 2023. And they were sending us stuffed animals originally for the holiday season. Things went, you know, there was shipping things and things on a dock. I don't know. But we didn't get them until after the holiday season. But they were so generous. And we were able to donate to so many different organizations to get the stuffed animals out. And one of the places that we donated to was the fabulous Ed Asner Family Center. So all different kinds of wonderful animals that they make at Wild Republic. They're plush, they're soft, they are, for our kiddos that are interested in nature and things of that nature, because I've been able to hand so many stuffed animals to kiddos in the last couple of months, and the way their face lights up, and our kiddos tend to notice. I wish I had one of the turtles with me, because the turtles, they were snapping turtles, and they're just amazing, and they're stuffed animals, so they're a little cartoony, but they're also very true to the actual animal. And I remember one little boy that I handed it to, and he was telling me all these facts about snapping turtles that I would not have known. You could tell that it was really jazzing him that he got a turtle. But I love this daddy seahorse with his babies. So fabulous. Anyway, that's why I've got stuffed animals all about me. But we have to get some business taken care of before we get to our guests. First of all, the jargon of the day. We do this on a regular basis. We're putting a whole bunch of new ones into the hopper that we've never done before for April, so I'm really excited about that. But today's term is one that we have done before, but we're taking a slightly new take on it. I've seen that over the last 14 years, some of these terms, well, I said this the other day, people have gotten better at this. Usually when I go to look up a definition, I go, oh, this definition is so terrible. I'm finding it much harder to find a terrible definition. Something's up with that, and it's good. I love it. So we're refreshing some of these as well. So today's jargon term is generalization. And you might think, well, Shannon, I think I know what this means. I know what a generalization is, right? But how does this apply to autism, and what does this have to do with potentially treating autism, right? And what does this have to do with teaching? Because this is everything to do in the world with teaching. So let's take a look at it from that context. First, we give you the actual definition. When appropriate, I make fun of it. And then we give you the working definition, which hopefully allows you to be able to have an idea of what this thing is so you can use it in your everyday life. And this is one that I want to be on your radar on a daily basis if you love someone who is on the autism spectrum, or if you are someone on the autism spectrum. So let's take a look at our actual definition, and it's a mouthful. Thank you, Chris, taking pity on me, full screening it. Generalization, the spread of effects of conditioning, either operant or classical, can we all yawn right now, to stimuli that differ in certain aspects from the stimulus present during original conditioning if responding is indistinguishable from that seen in the presence of the original stimulus. Generalization is said to be complete or no attention is commanded by the stimulus difference. If responding is different enough to be detected, discrimination is evident as well as generalization. Thank you, APA Dictionary of Psychology. I know what generalization is, and I can't make heads or tails of this. Now, I will tell you that there's generalization in many different things, and to not complicate it, this is generalization of stimuli. Does that help to not complicate it? I was going to put in, when you're generalizing something, you want to generalize with stimuli, and I'm going to explain what this means in a minute, with stimuli, with people, with settings, all different kinds of things, but technically this is the definition just for stimuli or stimulus. So, but if you don't understand what that is, I don't either. I'm reading that, and I've read it 6 or 7 times. If I squint, but let's take this and let's put this in the circular file and label it for anyone who already has a degree in psychology. If you already have a degree in psychology, then you already know what generalization is. So I'm not sure who this definition is for. Really, like, who is this for? Who needs to have this? Let's jettison it. And let's move on to our working definition of generalization. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why we do this. Generalization is when an individual is able to apply what they have learned in situations where they were not expressly taught that. Okay, so what does that mean? So let's say that let's start with something easy. I want to teach the color red to an individual that may or may not be on the spectrum, right? And I want them to learn the color red. But there are so many variations of the color red that I could spend the rest of my life and just focus on teaching them, well, this is a brick red, and this is an orange red, and this is a hubba hubba ding ding red, right? And this is a cherry red, right? But that would be boring and ineffectual, right? And I wouldn't get to some other really important things. So when we're teaching anyone something, we want to be mindful about generalization.
We want to think, okay, how can I teach this in a way that the person will then be able to take what they've learned and apply it in circumstances where we have not expressly taught it? So I'm teaching red to someone, and if I'm planning for generalization, I might start by teaching it two-dimensionally, right? I put a color on a piece of paper, and this is red. But then I quickly move to a three-dimensional crayon, and I go, this is the red crayon, and it colors red, right? And now I want to move it to another thing where I have a car that is red, and I go, what color is the car? Oh, the car is red. But then I want to point when the sky is red and go, oh, look at the sunset. It's red, right? And at some point, I hope that the individual will now be able to, maybe I've taught it in six different ways, but now the individual is able to look at something where I have not taught it, that maybe I haven't taught it in a shirt yet, but I hold up the shirt and I say, what color is it? And the individual is able to say, that is red, and that they understand that that is red, even though, hi, Krista. sorry about that. That they're able to understand that that is red. Even though I didn't teach them, this is a brick red shirt, that they've got enough of it. It's, I always think of My Fair Lady when they say, by George, I think she's got it, right? Because the skill becomes their own. Okay, so that's red. But where else do we see this in? And I think one of the biggest examples that I like to give parents of kiddos on the spectrum and why this is critical that we think about this before we start to teach anything, let's talk about toilet training. Because at least once a month, I will have a parent who will write in and say, what can I do? My child is toilet trained, but they only like to go at home, and they only like to go in the downstairs bathroom at home, and we just came back from a vacation, or we were at grandma's house, or whatever, or we had an accident, or sometimes worse, my child is impacted because we went on vacation for 10 days, and they would not poop in the hotel bathroom, right? And this is when I go, whoever was teaching them potty training didn't consider generalization. So when we are, especially for kiddos that need a little bit more when we're teaching, we know that individuals on the spectrum absolutely can learn, right? But that sometimes they need more opportunities. Sometimes they need more examples. And sometimes we need to help them because there can be rigidity when they learn something. It can be like very rule-oriented, and then it's that and only that, and anxiety can be produced when they get introduced to something else. It becomes critical that we work on generalization and that we plan for it before we do anything. So if you're working with somebody, for instance, whether it's an ABA provider or somebody else who's helping you with toilet training, perhaps it's just your Aunt Betty is going to help you with toilet training. Before we start toilet training, we want to think about the fact that, okay, we're going to start with the downstairs bathroom, but as soon as they get it in the downstairs bathroom, before that becomes a rigid thing in their head that I do this in this potty, that we go to the upstairs bathroom. And then we move all the potty training stuff up to the upstairs bathroom. And then as soon as they have it there, we go to Aunt Betty's house and we do it. And then we go to the Target bathroom. And then we go to the one at Trader Joe's. And we are still talking through the same things that we're talking about, because our hope is not that the child can just be toilet trained. We want them to be able to use that skill wherever they are, across different toilets. I mean, have you ever been to it's been years, but I think it's still the same. When you go to the bathrooms in Chicago's O'Hare Airport, and they have the automatic thing that wraps the toilet seat for you, you press the button, and this little thing comes out and rolls the plastic thing around the toilet. First time I saw it, I jumped back and like rattled the whole bathroom, right? Imagine for a kiddo on the spectrum, what we want for them is to be like, oh, that's a little bit different, but it's still a potty. And the button is here, not there. And the water makes this noise, but it's still a potty, and I know I still do X, Y, and Z in it. So that's just one example, but I think it's an example that hits home for those of us who have kids on the spectrum. But stop and think about things that you have learned in your life. I always talk about when my mom taught me how to drive a car. My mom taught me how to drive a car, and she knew this. She understood this, that she wasn't just teaching me how to drive this car around the block in my neighborhood. She understood that she wanted me to be able to drive a rental car that I'd never driven before. She wanted me to be able to drive on streets in New York City. She wanted me to be able to drive in Chicago. She wanted me to be able to drive on any freeway that there was, right? So she wasn't teaching me just about this. She was trying to get me acclimatized to all the situations that I may or may not be as I was driving. So generalization is huge. I will tell you, if you have anybody working with your child, again, whether it's ABA or something else, a lot of times parents will ask me, what's a hallmark of good ABA that I can look for and know? And this one is critical for me, that if you're spending the time and the energy and the effort and the money to do ABA, you want to do good ABA that's mindful of the individual and their needs, right? And it has to have this, good planning for generalization. So I usually say when people are starting out or interviewing ABA companies, pick a skill that you want your child to be able to learn that you have not been successful learning, like toilet training or whatever it is, and say, how would you teach my child this? And how will you plan for generalization? If you're working with somebody who knows what they're doing as a teacher, and again, ABA or anything, they will say, great question. This is how we will do this. And it will not be something that they have to think about and go, how will we do that? No. Because before you do your first lesson, generalization has to be planned for. You may change your mind along the way and say, that's not working and I want to change this, but you have to plan for it before you do anything. I used to teach all kinds of things. I taught theater and acting, and I taught, for a while after 9/11, I taught high school English, junior high and high school English. And I didn't even know this term, but I understood what it meant. And I was trying to get kiddos as an English teacher to be able to react to whatever they were asked. If you're asked a question in your social studies test, how are you going to come up with the best, well-thought essay answer or short answer, no matter what class you're in, right? It's a part of good teaching. And it is absolutely a part of teaching for individuals who are on the autism spectrum. I think it's just even more important that if we're really trying to be successful and play to their strengths, then we will absolutely plan for generalization. So that's that. Okay, so our guests today, I was saying before, the amazing Chris Assad and Thomas Island. Let me tell you a little bit about them. Chris Assad is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She has extensive experience working with families, siblings, caregivers, children, and young adults, providing psychotherapy services for special needs community and others since 2001. You would never know it because she looks like a teenager. She is also the director of mental health at the Ed Asner Family Center, which we dearly love. They have moved now, and they are located in Van Nuys. She is the co-founder of the Dating Spectrum, which we're going to be talking about today, and she co-leads that and co-created it with neurodivergent individuals. And one of those neurodivergent individuals is here with us today. She has been quoted many times as saying, I love the work that I do. Helping others is a part of my heart and my soul. It's truly rewarding when we see another person's life change for the better. We are going to be talking about this program, and I'll make sure to give this phone number if anybody needs help immediately. But Thomas Island is also here with us. Thomas was diagnosed with autism at the age of 13 years old. Since accepting his diagnosis, Thomas has been recognized as an award-winning author and thought leader. He left his career as a certified public accountant in 2015 to become a keynote speaker and a certified human potential coach. Now, that's a mouthful, but isn't that a wonderful thing to be called? And diversity, equity, and inclusion consultant. So if any of you have companies and you are wanting to have a consultant for diversity, equity, and inclusion, here you go. He is the owner of Come to Life Coaching, which is based on the title of his best-selling book, Come to Life, Your Guide to Self-Discovery. His mission is to empower individuals on and off the autism spectrum to live the life of their choice. Thomas has spoken at the United Nations, given a TEDx talk titled How to Come to Life, and he is one of only 93 Toastmasters International accredited speakers in the world, and the only person with that title on the autism spectrum who has achieved this designation.
He is engaged to the fabulous Rosetta, and they have been on the show for us. They did one of the takeovers for our podcast-a-thon, and I will say this. I think it was one of the most watched episodes. If you haven't seen it, you should go back and watch it. I will also say that before we knew that we were doing this, we had already booked Tom to be on the show with us in April. So he's actually back next week to talk about his new book. So we'll give you more information about that. But I also want to say that Tom has the prestigious international, from the Junior Chamber International's prestigious award, 10 Outstanding Young Americans Award, and has finished 6 marathons, 2 half Ironman triathlons, 2 full Ironman triathlons, and recently broke his own Guinness Book World Record as the world's oldest person with autism to finish a full Ironman triathlon. I mean, you know, come on. That is pretty impressive, Tom. Okay, so they are joining us both virtually. There they are, looking so fabulous. Hello and good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
My earpiece popped out. So thrilled to have you guys here. Where do we even want to start? You guys have been doing this dating on the spectrum thing for a while. Who wants to talk first about what it is and how long you've been doing it? Is that you, Krissa?
Yeah. Just thank you so much for having us. We're really excited because we are doing our first dating spectrum class online. This is, I think, the fifth semester where we've taught the course. And Tom and I have partnered up for a couple of those, maybe 3 semesters, Tom?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, we started it in, I hate to say this word, COVID, but it was wildly successful. People wanted to come out and learn as much as they could about what is it like to date? What is it like to have successful relationships? And we've just been on a roll ever since. And it's just been so much fun and really exciting.
Yeah, you guys are doing so many amazing things, but this this particular class, it's hard. It's like Sophie's Choice. You don't want to pick one above everything else. But I've seen so many amazing things come out of this program, the Dating on the Spectrum. Most importantly, I want to say this, self-esteem. That I've seen people come out with just improved self-esteem and confidence. Being ready to not only face the dating thing, but face everything that is coming at them. So I'm a huge fan of this. But now for the first time, you're opening this up so that, because so often people will say to me, "Oh, Shannon, I watch your show and I see the amazing things that are going on in Los Angeles, and it just breaks my heart because my kiddo is not in Los Angeles." And you guys, the Ed Asner Family Center during COVID killed it. You just made so many things, made so many things possible to people in the around the country and around the world. But now I feel like you said, you know, we gained steam. But now, tell us what this is going to look like and who this is open to. If it's online, can anybody join? Talk to us.
Yeah, Tom, you want to talk about that?
Yes, we're looking to expand our outreach. So like you were saying, it's not just limited to the people in or around Los Angeles. We want to take this statewide, nationwide, maybe even worldwide, because I think this impacts anyone and everyone on the autism spectrum, or even not. Like, finding love, keeping a relationship is difficult whether you're on the autism spectrum or not. I think a lot of people can learn from our sessions and what we have to say and the stories that can be shared.
And Shannon, you're exactly right to say that so many people have reached out to us as well. They're like, "We love all the things you're doing. We see it online, and we really wish we had something like that in our community." So we really, this is our opportunity to take it to other communities across the United States. And I was just talking with Tom earlier, and, you know, if there are communities out there that there's 20 participants or, you know, that some organization knows that they want our dating program to come to their city, I think that would be an option in the future as well. Like, we would really like to be able to take this to other communities, you know, not just in the Southern California area, but other places as well, because I think one of the fun things that we do also, in addition to this, which takes place in Los Angeles, is our social club.
Yes.
And I know we'll show some photos later, but we meet once a month, and we are just growing. And this last one, we had 30 people at our social club, and we literally were sold out for the last dinner and a movie.
Well, let's let's start to show some of those pictures now, and I want for you to just kind of describe for us what it is that we're seeing.
So that is Chelsea Darnell. She is one of the co-founders of the Dating Spectrum. She also helped to she is our social club ambassador, and she also gives input and feedback on all of the curriculum and the topics that we address in the program. And so Nava Paskowitz Asner is one of the founders of the Ed Asner Family Center, and she is always about everything's co-led and co-created.
Yes. Yes. Look at that wonderful group.
That's we went to a restaurant, a dining hall in Woodland Hills, and so we had just such a great group. We had they're the two girls that started Our Tism are right in the front of that photo on the right side.
Yes, they're joining us in a couple of weeks on the show. Well, Lillian is. Yes.
We've been doing more activities with other organizations too. We went to see Kung Fu Panda, so that was really fun. And that's a bowling night that we had, dinner and bowling. So it's pretty exciting.
Wonderful.
That is a paint and sip at the center itself. And we did paint and sip various sodas. So we had 15 different types of soda to everyone for everyone to try out, really funky flavors. And it was just really something conversational. There's some of the soda. And then this was when Tom and I were working at the center. These are photos of the older center. There we are teaching the five love languages.
Amazing. Truly
wonderful. And more photos. Tom, do you want to speak about some of the topics that we have?
So we have a wide variety of topics that we cover over the course of the dating spectrum. First and foremost, the concept of attraction, whether or not someone likes you or you like them. What are the signs of that, or what are the signs that someone may not be attracted to you and you might want to pursue someone else? Then there are finding common interests. Like, what do you have in common? Do you have fun together? Do you have something that create a good foundation or basis for your relationship? Or also the different levels of relationships. You become friends first. Then maybe you want to take things a step further, become boyfriend, girlfriend, or depending on what kind of orientation you are. Maybe you want to marry this person one day, become engaged, bond in holy matrimony. Are you going to have children one day? All these things that are different stages, levels of relationship. We go over that as well. And also we discuss the importance of boundaries, healthy boundaries at that. The importance of saying no and thinking about cyber bullying and online relationships, when, if ever, might you be crossing the line in that respect. So these are some difficult conversations and abstract concepts that we're having to bring up, but they're also very necessary because a lot of people on the autism spectrum, it's totally foreign to them that they might be doing something that totally scares another person or may even, worst case scenario, land them in legal trouble.
Yeah.
So what we talk about is very serious, but we like to have fun as well, as we see that relationships are a good thing and they can make us better people.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with you guys. Yeah. Go ahead, Krista. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. One of the things that is different is typically in person we do practice dating scenarios. We will still be able to do that online, but we'll use a lot of visual mediums. But mainly because it is online, we're calling it the Dating Spectrum Coaching Hour. So we really want to open it up to our community as well. We'll have a topic, but we really want our community to be able to voice their experiences and give examples. And, we also give examples, but we want it to be a collaboration where we all are really having these conversations around dating. And it's not just dating, because like what Tom said, these skills are necessary and important for friendships or other relationships. So, it just insert romantic here, or, if you want to also improve your relationships in the workplace, just kind of cues and things that will, you know, kind of give you better tools to recognize, is it a person that you just can consider a friend? Is there compatibility, you know, similar interests, similar, you know, ways to navigate, whether it's dating or a work friendship or a friendship at school or something like that?
Yeah, it's so funny to me that as a parent, and I'm going to say that I'm guilty of this too. So this is not me saying to all of you, oh, why haven't you done this? Because this is me too. But we worry about so many other things, about giving our kids a leg up, giving them assistance, helping them, you know, to get whatever it is that they need along the way. And then, I don't know whether it was because we just didn't have things like this, but we all kind of, like, fall apart on this and just hope that somehow they figure it out. I don't think there's a single parent that doesn't want, if you ask them, that doesn't say, I would love for my child to find somebody that they really get along with, that they love and that loves them, and that their life is filled with that. But have we done the things to set them up for it? And I love that you guys have been in this space for a little while, but that you're taking it into a much bigger arena so that more people can access this. Because we don't, as parents, we don't have to have all the information to teach them ourselves. Isn't it better to put them in a place where they have an LMFT, a person who has demonstrated excellence in coaching, who also identifies as being on the spectrum, right? And then a group of their peers so that some of the things that they're thinking and feeling can be normalized, and that if they're not having to think about it alone in their bedroom and think, I don't know if that's weird or not. I just love that you guys that you've been doing this, and I've seen the benefits of it, but I also love that now you're going to do it online. So let's talk about brass tacks here. If somebody's watching and like, okay, what age does somebody have to be to participate in this? Let's start there.
So we're 18 and older.
Okay.
Because we do discuss, we have a whole day or a whole class where we talk about sex, and sex comes up, and not necessarily specific details, but the idea of it. So we are 18 and older. And it's interesting, too, because a lot of students don't necessarily say that they want to have sex, but they might just want a companion and someone that they could share time with and activities.
Yeah.
So we explore that. Dating doesn't always mean sex. It means companionship as well. So we are 18 and older, and if anyone is interested in learning more, to you know, contact me at the Ed Asner Family Center, and my direct number is 818-855-2199. And we're actually starting April 11th, Tom?
Okay. 11th.
I love it. April 11th.
Okay.
And the course is $500 for 8 weeks, which it's for 60 minutes, which is a really great thing to offer our community as well. And so, you know, just you can even, I think you guys have my email address as well. Are you going to be able to, like, post that?
If you would like us to. I never like to assume. I should have asked you that before.
Yeah.
If that's an okay thing to do. We'll set Chris to see if he can get that on the screen.
Okay.
Some people don't want their emails given out, Krista, but obviously, you know, you're wanting people to contact you. I should have thought of that before. I also, while we're paused for just a second, I want to say hello to Helen and Amanda, who are watching as well. Wonderful to have you here with us. And anybody else could be writing in. If you have questions that you want to write in right now for Tom or for Krista, please feel free to write them into the chat if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Okay, so Tom, is the class once a week? How does this run?
We're planning to do it for 8 consecutive Thursdays, starting April 11th and ending May 30th. So you'll get 1 hour a week with us from 4
okay,
to
so
5
it's 1 hour.
p.m.
Is there a level of understanding that you guys prefer to have? Is there, you know, there's no delicate way to answer this question, but parents say, you know, if my Does somebody have to be vocal? Can they be minimally verbal and be a part of this? What is your target demographic in terms of individuals on the spectrum to get the most out of this class?
Tom, you want to answer that?
I was actually going to defer to you.
It's a hard question.
It's a hard question, but I think because it's not in person. In person, we used to do Zooms to make sure that our program was a good fit for people. Because we would do in person mixer a little bit. We'd start off usually as a mixer in person, so we had a different format for that and a different sort of requirement. We wanted to make sure if people needed assistive technology. We've had people with iPads come in. We've had people with support, but that's usually in person. I think it really opens it up a little bit more because we are online. But we have rules and guidelines around that we ask people to be very respectful. You know, if they're having a hard time, you know, Tom, you had talked about they turn their screen off and announce it if they need to take a break, you know. So I think it could be very diverse because we are going to be online.
I love that.
And for my part, I'm all about making sure that we conduct ourselves respectfully and with etiquette. I have Toastmasters background and good manners I've learned along the way. The little things that we take for granted, you know, they say chivalry isn't dead, but we want to make sure that our participants are doing what they should be doing and not doing things they shouldn't be doing.
And that's no small thing. I just want to say for parents who are watching this and not sure, not only are you going to be talking about all these things having to do with relationships and dating, but they're also going to be getting that piece too, that you have two really caring, very empathetic, intelligent, wonderful people who have been doing this for a while and can help to redirect people, can help people to understand clearly what the rules are and help them to be able to comply with what the rules are. Because I can think of, you know, so often with things like video games, our kids get booted out because their behavior online was not what the expectation was, and there's no one teaching them, hey, if you want that, you need to say it this way. But within the confines of this class, you guys are giving that direction to them as well.
And sometimes it needs to come from a man on the autism spectrum. I've found so many times with my clients that they say their parents will tell them to do something time and time again until the cows come home. It doesn't land.
Yes.
When I say it one time, there's like, of course, thank you, Tom, I'm on it.
Yeah, but so you know what? You're kind of magic anyway,
one of their peers.
Yeah, you're kind of magic. You have a way about you. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it, but you just have, I don't know whether it's that you're an old soul, Tom, but you just have a kind, caring demeanor about you that makes you very accessible. But yes, you are an expert and you know things that those of us who are not men and not on the spectrum can't possibly know.
And you know, we are both in front of people all day. Tom being a life coach and me being a therapist, I've been in front of people for the last 20 years. So I've gotten to really be in a sensitive place, a compassionate place, very patient. And, you know, I just feel like I have a sense, even though it's Zoom or online, I've been working with individuals for almost 20 years. So to be able to read someone through the computer during a therapy session or a Zoom session, you know, it's like I've got a little like spidey sense now because like I can really sort of notice people through the Zoom. And so there's an extra layer of sensitivity.
Yeah.
And we're in front of people all day.
Yes. And as much as I think Tom is an old soul, and I mean that as a compliment, and I also mean this as a compliment, Krista, I think you are a perpetually young soul. That you just have this ability to be with the young people and be young. And I, when I read that you've been doing this since 2001, I was like, that doesn't add up. Because you have the energy of a teenager. So together, you guys are a fierce force to be dealt with. But in a very positive and empathetic and kind way. So at this point, this class starts on April 11th. I would imagine that it's going to sell out in terms of that, you know, you probably have a cap for how many people that you can have participate. So I want to urge people that if this is something that you've been hoping for and praying for and saying, I don't know what we're going to do about this with my kiddo, this is a real opportunity for you. And I would not wait until the 11th to sign up. If you wait until the 11th, then you're not going to have the opportunity. I imagine you guys, this is not going to be the last time that you guys do it, but why would you wait? Why not get this in before the summer and have that opportunity and know as a parent that you have covered this box too? You can put the little check next to this box. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to somebody who married young. And we were having a discussion about when you have the security of knowing that you are with somebody who cares about you, and that you've got that going for you, and to have that as young as possible in life, it's a real gift. At any age, it's a real gift, but having that peace allows you to feel free to do other things. I didn't get married until late. I was almost 40 years old when I got married. But I say to my husband all the time that it gave me courage. I knew I always got to come home, and every day I get to come home to my husband. It's that safe place for me to go. So it gives me courage to go out and do things during the day that otherwise, if I was going home alone, I might find that harder to do. And if we think about what we want for our kiddos, don't we want them to be loved and have a community? And if nothing else, they will learn how to safely approach this, and they will have the community while they are doing this, which may last afterwards. So please sign up. Please get registered. But the best way to do that is to call you, Krissa, or email.
The 888 number or the krissa@teafc.org.
That's correct. Because Chris Desmond is fabulous. He's got both the phone number and the email on the screen. For those of you listening in podcast, it's Krissa with one S. There are so many ways to spell your name wrong, Krissa, and I did all of them yesterday. All of them.
My gosh.
But there's like 1,000 different ways to spell your name wrong. But it's chrissa@teafc.org. The TEAFC is the Ed Asner Family Center.org. And the phone number, again, is 818-855-2199. I'm going to say that one more time for those listening in podcast, 818-855-2199, to get registered. And you'd want to get registered as soon as possible. Is there any homework before the first session that people would want to get started on, or you're just going to start on the 11th? But I assume there will be fun homework.
That we have worksheets. Tom has some worksheets, and plus we have some media that we utilize to, you know, better explain some of the things that we're talking about. Visuals are so important. You really get to see an example of it. And what was your favorite movie? What Women Want with Mel Gibson?
What Women Want with Mel Gibson and Helen Hunt, where Mel Gibson can hear women's thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, they're thinking a lot, but they're not saying a lot. And that really opened my eyes to how much women have going on in their lives and what they think of us men, and how men are from Mars, women are from Venus, figuratively speaking, and communication style-wise. So that was a really big eye-opener for me.
Yeah.
And I think about that movie even to this day, even though it was made over 20 years ago.
Yeah, a powerful, powerful movie. I want to know, when you do this in person – normally the parents drop their kiddos off or they go in. Sometimes there's a support group where the parents sit and talk while their kiddos are in the thing. But now that you're going to be online, do you encourage parents to sort of hang back and let them be there alone or be there to support? What are your thoughts on that, you guys? Have you thought about that?
Well, as far as my clients go, my coaching clients, I tend to meet with them alone. There's no parent in the background. I might, if the person is young enough, I might run something by their parents if they're not of age yet. But overall, when I meet with my clients, I want their full and undivided attention. I don't want someone kind of hovering over or whispering stuff into their ear, figuratively speaking. Yeah. I want to bring out the authentic person that I'm speaking to.
Absolutely.
And I think by being individual, not worrying about other people in the room, that's going to bring out the real person.
Yeah, and you know, we really want people to have privacy because we also at the Ed Asner Center offer, I'm the director of mental health, we have a lot of people, couples on the spectrum that want to be seen, and they really want that privacy so they and the opportunity and the safety to be able to discuss their relationship, you know, through counseling and be able to have that separate from their parents or their peers. So it's really nice to give them that privacy, to be able to have that safe environment to talk. And we hope that everyone also honors the confidentiality. That's another one of our things, is we really want to be respectful of each other and offer that respect and confidentiality when people can have a safe place to speak.
And it's hard for parents. I know it's, like, so hard for me, but sometimes we just have to. And you've got two amazing professionals here that you can entrust your kiddos to, that they're going to make sure that everything is going as it should. And also, I would imagine if there's something that you feel a parent needs to be made aware of, like if there's any kind of behavior that's happening that is not okay, that you guys will report that back to the parent separately so that they will know or not.
Well, we would first go through the individual. They need to be able to sort that out for themselves and maintain their own great behavior and well-being to the community. Tom, would you agree on that?
Yes, particularly if these participants are 18 or over, they are legal adults, and they, I believe, are capable of making their own decisions and choices. Yes, the parents can weigh in, but the final decision lies with the participant, or I believe it should.
See, this is what we all need, including myself, for, you know, to be reminded by Tom and Krissa. Let them, you know, deal with their stuff. It's so hard,
yeah.
You guys. The letting go is so hard. I struggle with it on a daily basis.
Well, I have to tell you exactly. There are some parents that used to come to the pickup, or they would stay for the parent meeting, and they would ask me specific questions. And I said, I would redirect back to the participant and say, you need to ask that. It's privacy. They're 18 and older, and they're able to really have that presence themselves. And so some parents really started to see their child grow, and it was like a little light bulb moment. I'm thinking of one in particular. It was a light bulb moment for her to see her son as a young man.
Yes.
And, you know, interested in dating and wanting and desiring, like what you spoke about for yourself, that safety to come home to someone. We are so social. Some of us really crave that connection and those friendships and those solid relationships where we've polled people. They want to know that somebody is there for them and that they just need one person.
Yes.
And that's all we need sometimes, is one romantic interest that's going to stick around and be kind and loving, and or our best friend, you know, our companion.
Yes. We always go back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and there is nothing that says, oh, but individuals on the spectrum don't need this, right? They still need that. And sometimes we leave that, you know, out of the equation. And it's very much a part of happiness. If happiness is the thing that we're going for, let's make sure that we give everybody their best chance for that.
And again, just to reiterate, dating doesn't always include sex.
That's true. There are
so many people that have said, I'm not interested in that, but I really want someone I could go to the movies with or go to dinner with or something, just a companion. And so if some parents are like, oh, my kid's not ready for dating, or if a young adult's listening to this, you know, it's really what you want to make it. It's, you know, it's not only just the parents that approach us, other people in their 20s, 30s approach us as well.
Yes, absolutely.
I think this course breaks down a lot of the stereotypes and stigma that are out there. There's some stereotypes and stigma that people on the autism spectrum don't want friends or don't want connections, just want to be alone all the time.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. We see that time and time again in this course. These people want connections with people who truly care about them and love them for who they are.
Yes.
That's why we do this.
Absolutely. If anybody is not sure about that, I want to give a shout out to, if you haven't watched the film, it was Oscar nominated, Crip Camp. there is a scene where they're all sitting around and talking and having conversations about themselves as people. And there is a moment where somebody says, I just need for my parent to realize that I'm having these kinds of conversations. It was really powerful for me. It was very eye-opening for me going, okay. We got to make room for them to have those kinds of relationships and conversations. And if you're not sure, go watch Crip Camp. You'll get 100% sure. So, but you got to sign up. Let's put the website up one more time and the phone number to make sure. And then I want to talk just a little bit about the mental health stuff in particular. So, again, it's Crissa with one S at TEAFC.org, 818-855-2199. But you guys have a whole host of things. Now, I don't know, you used to do a separate class that was for kids a little bit younger that was specifically about sex education. Do you guys still do that, or is that on vacation for a couple of months?
Oh, my gosh. We have so many amazing enrichments right now that that we've been promoting. We have art class. We just had drum circle. We had a dance class as well. So we kind of go through seasonally different courses, and we did offer 13 to 17 sex ed class. It was for 4 weeks. That one was so popular. So many parents want that because they do talk about puberty and other areas of, things that are happening with your body and what if scenarios and boundaries and safety and all sorts of stuff like that in that particular course. That one, Megan Batel does a wonderful job teaching that course. And then we also do 18 and older. But we have talked about maybe bringing that one online as well so that other people in other communities could experience the sex ed for, course, which is lovely.
I think it'd be a good move, you guys. I have to be honest. I think it's so needed.
I want to reiterate the importance of having a man talking about man's parts. I once had a participant ask me, so why do I need to urinate after I ejaculate? And I was able to explain how the man's parts work. And he was like, okay, that makes sense. Thank you for that explanation.
Right.
I need a man to explain men motions and functions sometimes.
Well, I just learned something I didn't know.
So
there we are. Okay. I should have.
See, we're all good with these topics. We are nothing surprises us. We're all good, and we're very respectful because, honestly, some people might giggle in class or whatever, but we want to really normalize it and let people know this is human nature. This is the body. Stuff happens no matter if you're neurodivergent or neurotypical. We all feel similar things, and we all want, really to know that someone else potentially could love us, and that makes us feel, connected and just valuable.
Amen. Amen to that. So if you're interested in any of the things that Crissa and Tom have talked about, that are happening at the Ed Asner Family Center. And I do encourage you. I love Nava's vision. Nava and Matt, from the beginning, when they talked about the Ed Asner Family Center, they talked about so many wonderful things that have come to fruition. But the thing that I just remember Nava always, when this was in the dream phase, was she said there has to be a mental health component. There has to be. And I know that you have taken that vision and built an amazing place. Yes. You've poofed that, and so there are so many different things, including counseling for mm-hmm. families or for teens and adults on the spectrum.
Everyone.
Yes, absolutely amazing. It is not something that is necessarily free, but you also have a sliding scale, I believe, so that people can pay what they can afford. But let's be honest, all of that takes money. And I just want to give a shout out that you guys do a lot of wonderful fundraising throughout the year. But the truth of the matter is people can make donations to the Ed Asner Family Center every day of the week.
On the website.
Yep. And you can do that whenever you want. They also are very good about telling you if there's something that they're sponsoring, sometimes they'll say, You know, we need new art tables. Who would like to donate towards the art tables? And so you can give small amounts, you can give big amounts. I would imagine that if they're interested in scholarshiping people for these classes, because $500, if you look at how much classes cost, this is, you know, very reasonable for what most classes cost. It's, you know, it's mind-boggling for parents. But for some of you, you might be like, I wish my child could take this class, my teen, my adult could take this class, but it might be outside your budget. We encourage people to make donations either to scholarship someone or towards scholarshipping someone. That is absolutely a thing that you guys look to make sure that you are able to service people who are interested in being serviced. Yeah?
Yes, absolutely. On our website, which is the www.teafc.org, there is a donate section, and you can donate that, you know, here's a $500 scholarship for somebody that might not be able to afford it. And that would be just so lovely to be helping someone be able to take the course. Also, you know, for mental health, we do see everybody. We have online or in person, and we are located in Van Nuys in California. And we do our best. We're like busting at the seams. We have about 50 clients on a weekly basis that we see. And I'm hoping to grow that because I'm trying to get us in network with Medicare. So we are in network with a lot of insurance companies.
You just froze for just a second, Krissa, but the message is there. Please reach out. We put the website back up. You can also Google search the Ed Asner Family Center. I know right now Funko has a pop of Ed Asner as the Up character, correct?
And, yes.
And every time you purchase one, there is a donation made to the Ed Asner Family Center. So get yourself an Ed Asner pop. And it's Carl, right?
It's Carl, yes. And there's different versions of the different pops. But this one we do, it's a fundraiser for the center. And I believe it's on our website, or you can, it's a special. It's, I think they also have it on the Funko website. If you buy it directly from Funko, it's a fundraiser for us. I think we get $10 per pop.
It's pretty amazing, you guys. So get yourself a pop, and then you've made a donation. We're out of time, amazingly, because I feel like that just whung by. I want to thank both of you for being here. I also want to let everybody know that next Wednesday, a week from today, Tom is back with us for April, and he's going to be talking about his new book. Do you want to just tease what the new book is? Look at how good. Tom is always on top of it. My glass is full. I love
stories
that, Tom.
Stories of putting mental health first.
What's that?
It's stories of putting mental health first.
There we go. Look at you with your glass of water, reminding me to drink water. Hydrate.
I'm so glad of you.
There we go. But looking forward to that next Wednesday. Krissa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you
for all the amazing work that you're both doing. And give my love to everybody at the Ed Asner Family Center.
Thank you. Say all hi right. to your family, too.
We will. All right. Take care, you guys.
Bye. Thank you
bye-bye.
So much.
As we leave and we're over time now, I just want to give the teaser for next week. And we're hoping to put the whole month for April. The whole month is booked solid. But next week, this is what our schedule is. How is this? So on Monday, Dr. Stephen Shore is with us on Monday. We're so excited to welcome him back to the show. He is famous for saying the line, when you've met one person on the autism spectrum, you have met one person on the autism spectrum. He's an amazing educator and just a pillar in our community. We're so excited to welcome him back. On Tuesday, it is World Autism Awareness Day. We got a very special show with Dr. Graham Pichet that we've got planned for you about World Autism Day and taking some of your questions. Then on Wednesday, Tom Island will be talking about his new book and why you should be interested in that, and believe me, you should. On Thursday, we have Kobe Bird coming back to join us, and he is such... And this is a very special hour with Kobe Bird where I really wanted, I had the opportunity to be in a car with Kobe Bird and Temple Grandin in the fall when we were taking her back to the airport after the All Ghouls Gala. And I was a bump on a log just sitting and listening to the conversation between Kobe and Dr. Grannon. It just blew my mind. But it made me think about the fact that way back when, was probably the third interview I did with Temple Grandin, we just were on a car ride, and you can look it up. It's called Driving with Dr. Grandin. And I didn't ask her questions as much about autism. Maybe there are a few. But I asked her questions about her life that people weren't asking. I loved that interview. I loved that time. And we're going to be talking with Kobe about a lot of things that are about his life, which I'm getting to know Kobe Bird is what we're calling it. So that's wonderful. And then on Friday, to finish off the week, we have the amazing Julie Matthews. If you've never heard Julie Matthews speak before, she is a nutritionist with a specialty in autism. She was part of a new study talking about autism diets and what the actual effects of those diets were on many different levels of symptoms, things like anxiety, seizures, compulsive behaviors, all of these different things, cognition, focus, all of these different things. So, and she and Jim Ball, that we were just talking about yesterday with Dr. Grannon, rated 13 different diets on each one of those symptoms to show which was shown to have more of an impact. So it just blows my mind, you guys. So she will be on Friday. That's just the first week. And let me tell you, we've got some amazing people joining us throughout the month, including Lisa Ackerman from TACA, including we mentioned Lillian Carrier is going to be with us from Autism. Thomas McKeon is coming back to be with us, which Thomas always likes to, get it started. We will have conversation with Thomas, which I look forward to always. So, and Dr. Temple Grandin, how could I forget her? She's going to be joining us later on in the month. So we have got a really spectacular month planned for you. Some amazing experts, individuals on the spectrum, and individuals on the spectrum who are amazing experts. Boom. That's our April. That's what it's looking like. So we will have new shows every day, Monday through Friday, and we even talked about potentially squeezing in some Saturdays. I don't really want to do that, but if we have to, because there's so much going on, you guys, so much going on. So join us next week. It's going to be a thrill a minute. We'll look forward to having you there. Until then, give your kiddos a hug from me and one for you, too. Bye-bye for now. Hug a sloth. Hug a sloth. Thank you, Wild Republic.
If you found anything helpful in this video, please give us a like. In fact, make sure that you smash that subscribe button on YouTube and give us a like on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Instagram for important updates. And please download our free podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.